You're listening to The Back 40, the podcast for Ontario farmers, covering topics and issues that matter most to Ontario agriculture. Brought to you by Trillium Mutual Insurance, bringing the ag community together one podcast at a time. I'm the host of The Back 40, Mike Brine, agribusiness specialist at Trillium Mutual Insurance. During the pandemic, farmers markets have sometimes been scrambling a little bit when we were initially told that we couldn't go to various places. They were wondering how they were going to manage to set up safely and how they were going to manage to be able to sell their produce. And many of them, of course, rely very heavily on being able to be at those different farmers markets. Some of them went to an online presence. Everybody talked about how new that was. ClickFork is a system that's been in business since before the pandemic, and it's an online farmers market. We're talking today with Chantal Lewington about the online presence that they've had for several years now. And Chantal, welcome to the Back 40.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, so what is ClickFork?
So ClickFork is an online farmers market. It was created about 4 years ago. It was born out of the need to find a marketing strategy for local farmers who had been previously selling their products through a not-for-profit food co-op that had to close its doors. A group of farmers got together to discuss how they could market their products after that closure. My husband and I, my husband's name is Dave, we had already been doing online sales for our farm for approximately 8 years prior to that. So we showed them our website and how we were doing it. And someone asked, well, why can't we make a website like this for all of us to market our products together, and consumers can shop in one place and pick up everything up at the same time and have it all paid for in one transaction. So that's how ClickFork was born.
So for our listeners, I'm located in southern Ontario, but you're a little further north than that, and the distances that are involved there are a little bit larger. What area do you cover?
Our farm is located in a little town called Laving, Ontario, close to Lake Nipissing, and we cover the two major cities are North Bay and Sudbury. We're pretty much almost in the middle of that, so we're lucky to have two cities close to us. We're about an hour each way to each city. We cover pretty much the 100-kilometer radius. There's a few areas that are not as populated that we don't reach, but we do some home deliveries, and we also do community pickups. So customers come meet us at a central location to pick up their orders, and there's no charge for that. And I should back up and say that the home deliveries were only added last year when COVID started, to give folks the option who didn't want to leave home.
So you've been doing this for quite a while. What's some of the challenges been to getting a system like this up and running?
You have to know how to use computers and website software. You have to be pretty tech savvy to make it all work, because it's not a simple website for just one farm. You have multiple vendors, and you need to set up payment options, and just everything has to flow properly. So I can't take all the credit for that. I had a local web designer help me out to create a website to meet my needs. His name's Howie. His business is called Crimson Pepper. So if any farmers are interested in making a website, look him up, because he's awesome. He customized the site for me to make it work the way I wanted. So there's a lot involved in that aspect, but also you have to stay connected with your consumers in a different way that you would at a in-person farmers market. So you have to do a lot of social media marketing and newsletters. And for our social media marketing, we do little promos called Know Your Farmer posts. We get each vendor to answer a series of questions about themselves to let consumers learn about them and feel connected to their producers, because that's what they want. They want to feel a connection. So without the in-person aspect, that's how we try to make up for that and make people feel connected, and they get to see how their food is grown, or how their meat is raised, and so on. That's very popular and a very useful tool in that aspect. And then the newsletters let people know what's going on and what new products we're adding, if we're adding any new vendors, etc.
How many vendors are involved in this venture?
Currently, there's around 30 vendors, or a little bit over that now.
And what different types of products are available through ClickFork?
So there's a wide range. There's fresh produce, frozen produce. We have artisanal and value-added products. We have beef, bison. In terms of dairy, we have like grass-fed cheeses and butters, artisanal cheese, eggs, flour, honey and maple syrup, lamb, pork, poultry, and fish. So we have wild-caught fish, seeds, and plants. I think I've covered everything.
That's quite a selection of stuff that people can get. And what's your contribution to this? What do you produce?
Our farm is called Delu Farms, and we raise grass-fed, grass-finished beef. We've been at this location for 17 years. My husband is from Southern Ontario, so he moved his farm up here before I met him in 2001. And our farm has gone through a lot of transitions over the years. He started out with just sheep and pigs, and then he started doing a little more direct marketing. And when I came in the picture, we did a lot more direct marketing because I was really interested in that. So currently we do grass-fed, grass-finished beef, and we have three kids who also have their own little enterprises. So my daughter, she's my youngest is 9. She has laying hens. And my 11-year-old daughter has rabbits for meat, and my 13-year-old son has goats for meat.
That's a fair selection all on its own there, and I'm sure that keeps you folks busy with all of the different enterprises that you've got going on the property there.
We also grow some grain crops to make pig feed for other local farmers in the area, just to have a rotation in our fields.
So what are some of the logistical issues that you run into with this? If you're coordinating with more than 30 vendors here, obviously there's got to be some way of getting all of the orders together into one spot. How do you manage that?
It's quite complex. And I should back up and tell you how we started out. The first year for ClickFork was a soft launch, just to see how it would work out and if we would gain any traction or if customers would even order from us. There was 4 farms involved. So there was our farm for the beef, and then there was a produce farm, Yield Good Farms, and a second produce farm, Three Forks Farms, and they also raised certified organic poultry. And the fourth farm, Kipling Ridge Farms, was pastured pork and some beef as well. So the first year, we pretty much sold out of everything because no one had produced extra for this online farmers market because we had no idea how it would go. So then the second year, we all made plans to produce more. During the winter, it was discussed that the online farmers market was a lot of work logistically, a lot of clerical duties. A couple of the producers were thinking of backing out. So my husband and I, we saw a lot of potential in ClickFork and we didn't want to let it go. We proposed to take it over and that I would become the market manager and ClickFork would become a part of Delu Farms' business. That was probably the best decision we've made because now we have control over which vendors we add. We simplify things for the other farms who were already too busy with their farming. We also centralized the packaging of orders because prior to that, each farm was packaging the customer's orders on their own farm and then bringing it to our farm. And then we would deliver like 4 or 5 bags to each customer. And it was too much packaging and too complicated. So once I took it over, the packaging became much more condensed because all the products were brought to me here and I was packing the orders. So we're saving a lot on packaging, not just for cost, but also for environmental reasons, which our customers are very environmentally conscious. So that's a big plus there. And also not having to run ideas by multiple people every time you want to make a change. I mean, when I make a major change, I will give them a heads up or ask their opinions because they were founding members and we want to continue collaborating with them and make sure they're happy with the way we're managing things. And anytime I ask them, they're like, oh yeah, you know what you're doing. Don't worry about asking us, kind of thing. From what I hear from the other vendors, they're really happy with the way we're managing things. And also that we are selective with the vendors we add, I think is important to them because they want to maintain integrity and make sure that the customers ordering from us are confident in the products that we have available, knowing that they're raised a certain way. We have some minimum standards or requirements that they have to meet. So that gives the other producers confidence, and also gotten a lot of feedback from our customers saying that, you know, when I order from ClickFork, I don't have to worry. You've done the research for me, so that saves me a lot of time.
Yes, and I've talked to other people running other businesses. It's very difficult sometimes to manage them when you have multiple people trying to make the decisions. It's much easier when one person can say, okay, this is the way we're going to do it, and implement it without somebody else saying, well, I think we should do it another way. And you can end up spending a lot of time and effort discussing that without really getting anywhere with it. Do it one way, do it the other. It's easier just to get it done there. How many customers would you say that you supply? Do you know a number there?
Yeah, well, I've got a list of almost 800 customers. They don't all order every time, but consistently we probably get, I would say, around 300 orders per month. I mean, there's other organizations who get a lot more orders, but considering our geographical area, I think that's pretty good because people are a lot more spread out here than they are in, let's say, the Toronto area.
Yeah, there's quite the distance to have to cover. And it's one of the things that, because of those distances, it makes something like this much more appealing to people than to have to drive for quite a distance to get to a farmer's market only to find that you were too late. Everything was sold out on that. How often do you deliver to the various locations?
In the summer, or I guess starting in June and up until Christmas, we do biweekly deliveries. And then after Christmas, we tone it down to once a month just because there's less availability of fresh produce. And it also gives us a break because as farmers, we kind of like to catch up on rest and other family things in the winter. And it also lets us get organized for the upcoming season and to work on other projects.
Do you like what you're hearing from the Back 40? We'd like to hear from you. Send us an email with your comments and thoughts to theback40@trilliummutual.com or follow us on social media at Trillium Mutual. There's a lot of work involved, and I know you talk to people at the market, a lot of them on an in-person basis, they talk about picking produce by flashlight at 4 o'clock in the morning and getting that ready to go. I mean, there's quite a commitment there during the summer to get all of this produce and all of the product that you offer to get them picked and to a spot. Now, you've got a little more flexibility here because of the fact that you're delivering them, but there's still quite a bit of effort involved in that. Are you personally delivering, or do you just let somebody else look after that?
I personally deliver pretty much every order because just the nature of the business, we're growing. And we do have one full-time employee now and a part-time one. However, I still want to be very hands-on with the business because I want to see our customers. I want to be involved that way. I just feel that that's the most rewarding part of this is to meet the people that you're providing this service to. I don't have plans to stop delivering because, like I said, that's my favorite part.
With farmers markets, a lot of the draw for people is to get to know the different vendors that are there. That's a bit of a more of an issue when you're doing it online. But that idea that you're delivering all there, I mean, certainly that helps you get to know who your customers are there.
Yes, and I think the fact that I'm also a farmer is very, I wouldn't say comforting, but it's an added little perk for them to meet one of their farmers and see that she's also a busy mom and managing this online farmers market. And then my husband will do home deliveries, so in the winter time, in the spring. So I've had a few people tell me like, oh, Farmer Dave is delivering to me personally. That's so awesome. And
But people want to know who actually produced that food. They really do. That's part of the appeal of local food is, okay, yes, there's somebody there that's selling at the farmer's market, or in your case, there's somebody that's delivering it. But they do more than just deliver it. They actually produced some of that food that they're getting.
Yes, it's nice for us to meet them as well, put a face on these people, because it kind of gives us a boost or a reason to continue doing the hard work that we're doing. And it's very rewarding to see how people appreciate it. And I often get people thanking me for doing all this work. I've had customers give me cards, gift cards and money, just like at Christmas time, thanking me for all the hard work I'm doing. So that's always nice.
It's a different situation. Like my wife and I go every Saturday morning to a local farmer's market, and we see the same vendors, and they've many of them been there year after year. And it's great to talk to them. And my wife likes to talk to people and likes to make friends with them. But that's part of the appeal of going there. And in your situation, that's part of the appeal of the local food is that you're showing up with food for them, and they do appreciate that. And in your case, where the distances are involved, that's got to mean something that somebody would take the time to make sure that they had access to it.
For sure. Yeah.
Now, during COVID, during the pandemic, you made a change there where you said that you had started doing home deliveries for some people that didn't want to be out and about as much. How's that gone?
It's going well. I mean, the service is maybe not being used as much as it was right in the beginning, but I think it's convenient for a lot of people. They got in the habit of getting a home delivery for super busy families. To them, it's worth paying. There is a delivery fee when you get a home delivery. It's worth it to them to pay the fee. And I mean, we're not charging crazy prices. We're just charging enough to cover our mileage and our time to do that. So yeah, I think it's definitely helping. And you mentioned COVID again, and I have to say that our sales did increase substantially once COVID started, but I don't want to attribute all the success to COVID, because I just feel like I hear a lot about due to COVID, this has happened, or due to COVID, we can't do this anymore. So I like to take the credit myself a little bit and say that my hard work over the year, the last few years, is really paying off. Our advertising costs are super low because we get a lot of customers through word of mouth and just happy customers. So
in many situations where markets have gone online or businesses have gone online, they can attribute that directly. But for your situation, you know, you've been doing this for a while, and this is not an overnight success. This is something that you've been working at for several years before we ever saw the pandemic there. It just, you were in the right place to be able to take advantage of it, perhaps.
Yeah, thank you.
So where do you see ClickFork going? What's in the future for that? And do you have any other projects that you're working on?
Yeah, so I guess my goal is to continue to provide this service and for the long term, to someday pass it on to maybe my children, or if they don't want to do this, then someone else who would be young and keen and interested in continuing on. So I think ClickFork is here to stay. So long as consumers continue to support us. And I do not want to become a huge multinational business, obviously, because that's not even close to what we're all about. I'm happy that we're able to hire a local full-time person. One project that I have been working on to add is a licensed kitchen, in order to preserve like in-season produce and make more value-added products with any excess produce or meats that we have in excess, just to add more variety to our customers. And I think that adds a lot of value for our vendors as well, because if they have a huge bumper crop of a certain thing one season, then we can take that and process it instead of seeing it go to waste. So we actually asked for investments from our customers to get this project going. And we've had great amount of support from our customers and uptake. So we've been able to buy a lot of equipment and start installing that. So that's ongoing. And we're hoping to get that up and running before the huge bulk of produce is ready, like in August. And we also want to add some other programs, such as a composting program for people who don't have backyard composting. We'd like to take our customers' compost, bring it to the farm, and make some nutrients for our farm with it.
It's circular. You provide them with the produce, they provide you with the composting materials afterwards. And it kind of fits because you are in a situation where you're delivering. It's a great opportunity to bring that back again.
Exactly. Yeah.
What sort of products are your customers asking for? Obviously, if they've been willing to invest in this, there's a demand there. And what sort of products are they looking for out of this new venture?
I actually haven't had any specific requests. I think they've been happy with the services we provided to them throughout the years. And I have a loyal customer base who, when I come up with these ideas, they just jump on aboard, because it's not the first program we've done. We've also done a cow share program for our own beef operation. So we have just over 30 customers who have invested in our cow herd. In return, they get beef every year. So it's a 5-year investment. And every year they get $100 off their beef order. So they give us $500 and then they get it back over 5 years. And they also get a discount on their freezer order. And they're guaranteed to get a quarter beef every year for 5 years, because some years we will sell out quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually our 12th year doing that cow share program. So we have a lot of loyal customers, like I said. And when I ran this kitchen idea by them, I think they had confidence because they had already done other programs with us and not worried that their money is going to disappear. So with the kitchen investment, they get a gift certificate to use on our website. So they get their money back in food.
They're just pre-investing.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And they're used to this concept.
Yeah,
that's a different layer than what you see in a lot of operations, that you use your customers to help you provide them with products that they're looking for, and they're obviously willing to invest in you, because you said, like, in this new venture, they're not even looking for a specific product, they're just looking to see what you come up with, and they think that it's going to be good for them, right?
Yeah, and I think they want to support the local agriculture and business. So I think it's a perfect opportunity for them, because they get their money back eventually in food, and that's like you said, it's a circle. That's a kind of a higher level investment. We also have one that's a little bit more affordable for people who can't put that much money up front. It's just a membership with QuickFork. So it's $100 membership, and then they get a discount on their orders. So if someone can't help us with the kitchen investment, they can still get the membership, and it still helps us develop the kitchen and other programs like the composting idea we have.
That gives you a little bit of working capital up front, but it also builds customer loyalty, right? I mean, if you're willing to pay for a membership, you're obviously going to use the service. There's no two ways about that. And I know I sure would. I wouldn't invest in something that I wasn't happy with. Is there anything else that you've got planned other than the kitchen?
No major projects, but another program we've implemented is a bin program. So we have customers buy reusable bins. So they buy a set of bins, and then every time they pick up their order, we hand them the full bin and they give us an empty bin back. And that way we don't have to use any packaging, which is convenient, because they don't have to wait till we go find this bag in that bag, because there's fresh products, there's frozen products, there's dry products. We just hand them their bin and away they go in the winter. That's very handy when it's minus 30 up here. And it's also very environmentally friendly that way.
You said you'll have, in the same order, you'll have a dry product or a room temperature type product, you'll have a cold product, and you'll have a frozen product. What's the logistics like of trying to keep that all separate? How do you keep the frozen while you still have other stuff that you don't want to get frozen?
What we do is we have an enclosed trailer that we pull to the delivery sites. We have chest freezers in there. So we keep all the frozen items packaged together and we keep them in the freezers until we get there. And then we have blue Rubbermaid bins for refrigerated and we will mix the refrigerated and dry products because the dry products doesn't matter if they're cold or not.
Yeah.
So then we have a pick list at the pickup location, and then we have the customer's name, and we know we need to find one frozen and one refrigerated for them. And then for the home deliveries, it's a little different. We have insulated bags for the frozen products. Sometimes if we have too many orders, I will have to bring some of them with me in the enclosed trailer, and my husband will have to come refill the RAV. We use a RAV to do the home deliveries.
That's a good problem to have, though. It's good to have lots of orders and lots of customers there. So you sound like you're fairly busy with everything you've got going on. Running a farm, running a family, that's not your only job that you have, is it?
I also have a part-time job as an X-ray technologist. However, I am taking a lot less shifts since I started managing ClickFork.
I can imagine.
It allows me to work from home more and be around the kids because we are actually homeschooling all three kids. My 13-year-old son was already homeschooling before COVID started. And then once COVID hit, we were already considering switching the girls to homeschool, but we just made the leap a little sooner. So all three of them are homeschooled and not in the school system any longer.
So if people want to find out more about ClickFork and they're within your 100-kilometer radius there, how do they find out and how do they become customers?
So it's pretty simple. They just go to clickfork.ca and they can find all the information there. We also have a delivery and pickup schedule posted on our website, so they can see, it's a Google Calendar where they can see the dates we're delivering and to which locations. So all the info is there. They don't have to be a member to place an order. Anyone can go ahead, place their order, pay online, and then all the information is also sent to them in a confirmation email with their delivery date and time. But one common mistake consumers make is they forget to select if they want community pickup or home delivery. So the default is home delivery. So if you don't select that community pickup, you'll get charged a delivery fee. They just have to make sure to choose the community pickup if they want to come meet us to get their order.
That's awesome. This is a great project. It's a great business model. Love the idea of a farmer's market online. We've been talking to Chantal Lewington from ClickFork, the online farmer's market.
Thank you, Mike.
Join us next time when our guest will be Amy Peck from the Canadian Cattlemen's Association. Amy has been heavily involved in the production of a short film called Guardians of the Grassland. The documentary examines the relationship between grazing cattle and the preservation of a unique ecosystem within Canada. You've been listening to The Back 40. Brought to you by Trillium Mutual Insurance. Be sure to subscribe to The Back 40 wherever you find your favorite podcasts so that you don't miss an episode. The Back 40, bringing the ag community together one podcast at a time. I'm Mike Brine. Until next time, take care and stay safe.